It's going to happen. We're going to have a chat now with Cara. We've spoken before. Cara Hoffman, we're going to talk about hearing loss and dementia. Hello, Cara.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, man. And you? Good. Are you having a good day?
Yes, thank you.
Good, always. There's two choices, really, isn't there, Cara? Have a good day or have a bad day. So today we're talking about hearing loss and dementia. Okay. Now, can you tell me about the increased risk for dementia that does exist for people with untreated hearing loss?
Yeah, so it is so important for the whole population to understand that hearing loss is the largest modifiable risk factor for dementia in midlife.
Wow.
Which means that out of the 14 different modifiable factors, which include reduced alcohol intake, reduced smoking, reducing stress, blood pressure, all of these things, which we know are very important, the number one factor that we can modify and have an impact on our cognitive processing is treating hearing loss. So even mild hearing loss will double the risk of dementia. A moderate hearing loss will increase the risk threefold, and a severe hearing loss will increase the risk up to five times. So there are multiple research and institutions where they have now brought in how hearing loss and untreated hearing loss has a major effect on our cognitive processing. So of all the things that we can actually change to reduce the dementia risk, hearing loss is the number one.
All right. Now, how does identifying hearing loss early, okay, help people to avoid or decrease their risk at least of developing cognitive problems?
So it's such a good question, Dave, because this is why early intervention matters, because we don't necessarily know what we're not hearing. How do we know what we're not hearing? So early diagnosis will change that trajectory. So what that means is a person needs to know their status. They need to know their hearing status at every stage of their life and every year, because hearing loss changes so slowly. It's so progressive that the brain fills in the gaps all the time, and you don't necessarily know what it's filling in until it's glaringly obvious. So that early diagnosis will change the trajectory of keeping the brain stimulated with sound, reducing the listening effort and fatigue that's associated with concentrating so hard to follow a conversation when your brain is having to fill in those gaps. It helps people stay socially engaged, and it protects our cognitive reserves. So there's so much growing evidence that treating hearing loss early may slow down cognitive decline. And the earlier we intervene, the more we are protecting the brain, not just improving the hearing, but protecting the brain.
All right, now following on from that, what recommendations do you as an audiologist make for someone diagnosed with hearing loss and have a risk for cognitive decline?
So we all know that there are various lifestyle factors that we can take into account, things like exercise, cardiovascular health, cognitive screening, brain stimulation, active listening environment, social engagement, face-to-face communication, and enhancing the social aspect of us being able to communicate. But the truth is that because we won't know what we're not hearing, it needs to be formally assessed and addressed. And once we pick up a hearing loss, there are various ways of stimulating the brain. Sometimes it is with a device, with a technological device, such as a hearing aid or an amplification device, where there are certain sounds that are being missed out, and those devices will amplify those sounds and provide access to the brain. But not only that, is also auditory training and oral rehabilitation that any independent audiologist or acoustician will offer patients. It's not just about the device, which is what a lot of people think it is. It is about how we can nurture, how we can train the brain, how we can improve conversational breakdowns and educate the rest of the family on how to talk to a person that's hearing impaired and what to expect in that conversation.
All right. Now, you as an audiologist, what do you recommend to stimulate sound connection for people with cognitive difficulties?
I'm sorry, this is the most ironic thing that I'm going to say in this entire conversation, but I'm battling to hear you, Dave.
No, that is actually quite funny, isn't it, really? Okay, can you hear me now? I'm just tweaking.
Yeah, a little bit better.
Tweaking a couple of things here. I can hear you loud and clear. What do you as an audiologist recommend to stimulate sound connection for people with cognitive difficulties?
So if cognitive decline has already kicked in, then a hearing aid or treating the hearing loss is not going to reverse that. That's really important to understand. Once it starts, we want to stagnate that process, but once it starts, it starts. And so that is why it is so important to assess and find it early, because if there is a predisposition in the family, for example, with genetics, that they may be predisposed to developing cognitive decline or dementia, it puts them at a higher risk. And therefore, we would need to, as I said earlier, we'd need to treat it earlier. But so, as I say, sometimes it is hearing devices and sometimes it is therapeutic. So listening, enhancing the way that our brain is processing sound, adding noise in the background and obtaining that person's attention, auditory vigilance to follow that conversation and to pull that conversation out from the background noise. We also use things like conversation tracking, telephone training. So it just really depends on what that person is battling with. But once that cognitive decline has started, it is a slippery slope. So we need to get it earlier before we can have a real positive effect.
All right. Now, how can someone find an audiologist to take them through the diagnosis of hearing loss? It's not a nice thing. And screen for those cognitive problems. Where do I go?
So most audiologists will have some form of doing a cognitive screener. Some audiologists use a device that is called CogniView Thrive, which is a computerized cognitive screener. It does not rely on their hearing ability to be able to complete the test, but we look at screening areas such as memory, executive function, processing speed, reaction time. Other audiologists will also use a paper-based type of screener. So that is always available, and it should be done for all adults starting at the age of 50 and should be done annually. When a person comes in for a hearing test, that will include that cognitive screener, so to see if there are any predispositions or any areas of concern. And then we look at how is the auditory system functioning and how is it functioning in quiet compared to how it's functioning in noise. And we assess each ear individually as well as how they work as a pair. And based on that, we will assess how well that person is able to pull out the speech in the background noise, as well as hearing conversation in quiet and over the phone, and match technology as well as rehabilitation to that person's unique and individual profile.
All right, so how do I get an appointment? You know, I'm worried, my hearing's not as good as it used to be. What do we do? Which website do we go to?
So we'll start with, I mean, we always have to start with looking at, we'll start on the outside, take and go all the way inside. So we start on the outside looking at whether there's wax, infection, anything blocking the ear. We would look at middle ears, any buildup of fluid, sinus involvement, all of that. And then we look at hair cell function inside the inner ear. once we get an idea of that person's hearing thresholds and their profiles, we have access to a range of devices from all over the world, the world market leaders in hearing technology. And so we have at our fingertips available technology that we can customize and individualize for each individual person.
All right.
And so then put them on a plan.
Okay. So how do I get the appointment? Who do I come and see? Where do I go to make that appointment?
One should go to, there's a website. It's www.independentaudiologist.co.za. You can also follow us on our socials, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. We are called the Independent Connected Audiology Network.
Sounds very important, Cara. Very important. And it is, too.
It really is. It really is.
Do you know, people say to me, I've been DJing for like a million years, you know, in nightclubs with thumping music and radio for 40 years and headphones that people come near and they go, how can you stand the volume through your headphones? So far, so good. Am I in trouble in the future, do you think? Because I'm still a spring chicken, you know.
Well, you know, I think it's amazing, Dave. I think if you're able to still enjoy and hear all the nuances of sound, then that's absolutely wonderful.
Fantastic.
Absolutely wonderful.
Well, thank you, Doc. All right, it's been lovely talking to you once again. And
you too.
Hopefully we'll
have
chat
a lovely day.
We'll chat again soon.